back to work. The session today, Senator Terry Bryant's joining us this morning. I was looking at the legislative agenda, the calendar last week, and I could not believe all the legislation, just the piles of it in committee over this and that, everywhere. And I started thinking a minute, have we really got to the point in Illinois that it's not about so much about what we do, but what we stop from getting done in Springfield?
I'd say that's a pretty good analysis. There does seem to be a whole lot more legislation that was filed this year than I've seen in the past six. And I think part of that is because we had such an abbreviated session last year that a lot of people didn't even get any of their bills heard in committee or moved out of the Rules Committee in the House. So they may have done like I did, which was I had a staff redraft any of the bills that didn't get considered last year. Now, a couple of the ones that I had redrafted, I'm looking at again, because you know you have a deadline for drafting. And again, it's kind of an abbreviated calendar this year because today's going to be the first day that the Senate has truly been in session and the House still is not in session. So we had to have our bills drafted and filed before we've even had our first day here. So I think a lot of people did like I did and had them drafted and filed, and they probably won't move.
It's interesting. I was talking to Richard Pearson, the Illinois State Rifle Association, I guess, a couple of weeks back. And so I'd done my homework on, say, a Wednesday night or a Thursday night and talked to him on a Friday. And when I went to bed on Thursday night, there were 52 gun laws in Illinois. And by the next morning at 8:30, there were 87.
Yeah, there is an assault right now on Second Amendment rights, and there's an assault on the issue of life. I would expect to see the fingerprinting bill pop up again, requiring you to have fingerprinting for your FOID card, which is hilarious, but not hilarious in a good way, considering they can't get the FOID cards moved right now as it is. And then another bill that's very disturbing, and I'm sorry I don't know the bill number right now, but it removes parental notification on abortions. And the people who've been sending me emails and so forth asking me to support that bill, please stop sending them. I'm never going to support a bill that says that parents shouldn't be notified if their daughter is going to try to have an abortion. So all due respect, I just ask that, you know, people just get that, you know, kind of get that in their minds. And I don't know. So those are the two assaults that I see coming up shortly.
All right. The governor yesterday signing the education bill. When you look at the depth and breadth of this bill, it's very clear it will take the educational groups across this and school districts across this years to unpack, understand, and implement.
Yeah. In fact, that particular bill is the one that folks may remember requires every high school student to take 2 years of foreign language. Now, that's great in theory. I took 4 years of high school French, but the theories don't pay the bills. So we have a situation right now where the governor's proposed budget does not put in the $35 million of new money that was promised by the legislature when we passed the new funding formula. So first of all, he didn't put it in there last year and then didn't put it in his budget again this year. And we have unfunded mandates again, including that foreign language mandate, which, you know, in our schools, I would take Elkville, for instance. It isn't that they don't want to have a foreign language. It's that they can't get anyone to come and teach it. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to have I foresee like Zoom classes and so forth. And I'm wondering why the teachers union is not throwing fits about the fact that we now know that teachers can teach, you know, from long distances, and I would think that they would have been throwing a fit about it, but not so.
A question just came in when you and I were talking about the increasing gun legislation. Would you please ask Senator Bryant how much the state would save if the obsolete FOID card was to be removed from illegal and unconstitutional requirement because of illegal and unconstitutional requirements? It does nothing as it is out of date. As soon as it's issued, impacts on our civil liberties negatively and is many months behind on issuances.
Yeah, I don't have the exact dollar amount for what it would save, but I could fully support getting rid of the FOID card and have done so in the past. I carried the bill 1 year to get rid of the FOID card. I think Patrick Windhorst carried it for a couple of years. I'm sure someone's carrying it this year, probably Patrick again. We'd love to get rid of the FOID card. And the person who wrote that is absolutely right, but it's more than just a couple of months. I'm getting text messages, private messages, so forth, every day that where people are 18 months expired, 12 months expired. And I'll tell you, I've talked directly to Director Kelly. He does have a couple of proposals that, even though it wouldn't get rid of the FOID card, at least would make it a little bit easier for us, because I don't anticipate the Democrat supermajority calling any of the bills that get rid of the FOID card. So Director Kelly is proposing a couple of things, one such as you go to buy a firearm. Of course, your background check is done during that point. Your expiration date on your FOID would be reset to that date. Another is if you have a CCL, you wouldn't have to have a FOID card because obviously you've gone beyond what's required for the FOID card. So love to be able to fix that. What they tell me the state police are doing right now is because they're so far behind, they're kind of ignoring all of those ones that have expired, and they're only processing the people who are applying brand new, not renewals. I think they've like thrown their arms up in the air and said, we can't catch up. But they did hire like 20 some odd new people, and hopefully they'll get it under control. We're pushing them very hard to do so.
Yeah, I think somebody tagged both you and I in a Facebook post saying they had been waiting 18 months, I believe it was. I mean, somebody out of Murphy's.
Yeah, so that person has since gotten their FOID card there. When, you know, I hate to have an avalanche of people calling the office because we already have probably 25 a day that are calling and asking for help, but that's what we're there for. So if the state police are not being responsive, they're welcome to call 618-684-1100. That's my office number. And Kathy or Carrie will assist in trying to get you through to the state police. And we've been somewhat successful in trying to get people, get attention to those individuals. So just be patient if you call the office, because we're being flooded with those requests and doing everything we can to help people.
The Labor Department Inspector General Office estimates more than $63 billion has been paid out improperly through unemployment programs. This is something you're familiar with, and you've been raising hell about it.
Oh, yeah. Once again, something happened this past week, and I'm probably going to have to do a FOIA request on it because I haven't been able to get in for any information. But I did have someone who sent me a private message that works for IDES and said that just, I believe it was early last week, they were trying to assist from home, but something in the system was changed, and all of a sudden they could not even see any of their clients' information, so they couldn't help them for a complete, almost a 24-hour period. So, folks, when you're calling IDES, I know you're not getting through, and it's very frustrating, but those folks that are local, that are working from home, they're doing their level best. Unfortunately, IDES at the state level and at the governor's office is not giving them the tools that they need. And to tell you the truth, Director Richards, we've been on, the Senate has been on a Zoom call with her, as now recently several committees in the House. And I don't know if she just isn't well informed about what's going on in her agency, or if she's just not being honest. I'd like to believe it's just that someone's not informing her, but clearly she says that the office is doing, you know, things to help individuals, and that's a complete falsehood. So, I don't care how many times, you know, the governor has now changed the director. I don't know how many times he says that everything is awesome. It's not awesome. So they need to fix what's going on at IDES. And if Director Richards can't take care of it, then get someone who can.
Is there any attempt to address the pension debt with this new Moody's report and the increase from 2019 to 2020, where $317 billion, although the state, the governor's office says it's 114, I believe, and Moody's says no, it's not. For the five pension systems, 317 with a substantial impact. Is there, over the course of the year, 25% of the budget going to pay pension costs? Is there any attempt in this session to rein in or address these costs in some form or fashion?
I haven't seen anything new, but there is you know, there has been a plan for, I think we're going into the third year now, that Representative Batnick championed, and that was a sort of a buyout. There's a partial buyout, a full buyout. I believe that up to 5% of those who are retiring are able to opt into that. If they opt in, and the good thing about it as opposed to the past is, for taxpayers, I should say, is that no one is being given additional time. So you're getting ready to retire, you can sign up for one of these two, and it actually saves the taxpayers money. A lot of people have been opting into that, and we are seeing some positive results from it. The unfortunate thing, and the reason we're seeing the increase in the pension debt, of course, is we have this, I'm going to call it the Edgar ramp. It'll make some people mad, but that's really what it is. So because of the Edgar ramp, we're still increasing what the state has to pay every year. And we will level off, I believe it's in about 7 years. We'll plateau at some point and then begin to go down again. But the only talk that's gone on in Springfield for the last couple of years is re-amateurizing that debt, which means that we would drag that on down, you know, farther down the road. And I hate to see the debt, and I don't want to say we have to bite the bullet because it's the taxpayer that has to bite the bullet on it. But re-amateurizing it, I don't think is very wise either, because you're, you know, to use a term that's way overused, you're kicking the can down the road. So, but Tom, to your question, I haven't seen any movement toward fixing it this year. Right now, I think the main emphasis is making sure that we pay our payments and pay them on time. And then in the meantime, looking for what funds can be used towards paying down that debt.
Well, you know, and I'm wondering, is what's going on in Washington that's going from the Senate, going back to the House for the Senate changes minimum wage, which is a moot point in the state of Illinois. But in any event, is what is going on in Washington a bailout of Illinois?
Well, I think in a sense it is. Obviously, we've had a lot of great Republican congressmen and senators who have talked about the fact that Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and California did a very poor job of managing their funds throughout the years. And now states who manage their funds very well are having to bail out the states who did it poorly. And Illinois is included in those. And, you know, the fact is that the legislature cannot get a grip on themselves and stop spending. You know, just at the very start of our, you know, of our conversation here was the fact that the governor just signed this new education bill, and it does nothing but cause more and more and more spending. So, you know, over and over again, no matter how many times we have the debate, we cannot keep expanding programs and starting new programs, no matter how much they feel good to do that. We have to pay our bills. And yes, the rest of the country is having to bail out Illinois, and it's quite unfortunate.
All right, before I let you go, there is a lot on the agenda. I mean, literally, I was shocked at how much, just in the sheer bulk of committees and legislative imperatives and all this. So what should we be looking for, and what are your legislative imperatives for this session?
Well, I think obviously we want to continue, you know, from the broad spectrum to look at the bills that are going to cost money. Anything that costs money, we should be looking at, you know, with a magnifying glass. There are some things that we do have to pay for, and those probably should go through, but the others we need to watch very closely. I have a couple I have a couple bills that are important to me this year. One is changing our Electoral College, the way that Electoral College votes are distributed. I think I talked about it when I was on here last time. It would change Illinois from a winner-takes-all to awarding those electoral votes per congressional district, and that would give downstate Illinois a greater voice in the presidential election. A small bill, but a very important one, is to make the $118 that people now have to pay for their small trailers a lifetime fee. So for the full time that everyone has that, you know, if you have that trailer, the full lifetime of that. And then I have a bill that I've been looking for something that helps grandparents. with their rights in visitation when either their, you know, their child dies in, you know, maybe they have another parent or that doesn't want them to see the kids. It's a very sticky wicket to get into. The Supreme Court's been pretty clear about parents' rights, and I don't want to infringe on that, but I do want to give some grandparents the rights, good grandparents, to be able to see their grandkids. So that's one I'm going to be looking at to see if we can amend it in a way that gets a little bit more support.
And while along the way, trying to stop a whole fistful of other things.
Yes, and you know, it's frustrating, Tom, because I'm up here today and I'm hearing already that the Education Committee today has been canceled. You know, we had to come up yesterday, which I don't mind doing, but we came up simply because we all had to be COVID tested. And we're doing the saliva test, so it takes 6 to 10 hours to get the responses back. Well, you know, I took the COVID test so that I could be in session today, but no one stopped me going into the Capitol yesterday to go to my office, or last week when I came up. So it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors. And then at the same time, I see that the CDC is now saying that if you've been vaccinated, you no longer have to have a mask when you're outside gathering in groups. And so I'm happy about that. But one day to the next, we don't know what the rules are. And then we come up here, and the House was canceled for this week. The Senate is canceling Thursday. We don't even start today until around noon. So it's quite frustrating. Again, I hope the folks at home can hear. I'm as frustrated as they are, trying to do the work that I'm supposed to be doing as I get up here. But unfortunately, the majority party leadership will not allow us to do that.
Senator Terry Bryant has joined us this morning. Thanks, Terry. I really appreciate the input today. Before I let
sure,
you go,
Tom. Yeah.
Even I was a little surprised that the subject of trying again with fair tax came up so fresh on the lost. I'm like, they're going to try it again? Well, probably not going to pony up into the $55 million to do it. But I'll be honest with you, I didn't expect so quick a turnaround. I don't know if that illustrates desperation or being tone deaf.
Well, I think it's tone deaf. And I also think that the new Speaker of the House is feeling a little puffed up at the moment. And so for whatever reason, he thought that he could talk about doing something that the people of Illinois overwhelmingly put down. So maybe as he grows into his job, he'll start to listen to the people of the state a little bit more.